The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hi there, welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. Today we're going to have a look at some racing on Friday. We're going to be looking at it at Ascot and York. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined in the studio by Mr. Gordon Brown.
Afternoon, Gordy.
I'm fine, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Three good races that we're going to look ahead to here. I mean, for a Friday, I mean, obviously it's better action usually than the rest of the week, but there's some really high-class horses taking part.
Yep, the action begins to heat up. We're going to look at Ascot, and I think we're looking at one at York, aren't we? Is it Ascot? Ascot and York. Evening meeting at York.
I know. With some very good racing there. It's a bit something for everyone, really, on Friday, isn't there?
Yeah. I've never been to York on an evening, I'm sure it's
lovely. No, must confess I haven't either. We'll kick things off. We'll just have a quick mention of the King George taking place on Saturday. Obviously, firstly, desperate news about St Nicholas Abbey, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'd like to have seen him sort of put the record straight, beaten on a couple of occasions in the King George. There's one or two people thinking, you know, he wasn't the same horse right-handed. That might be or might not be the case, but it would have been nice to have seen him put the record straight, and our fingers remain crossed that he makes a recovery so he can take up a stud career. He's a desperate loss to the race. I'd love to have seen him there, but as I say, the main thing is that fingers crossed he survives. A routine piece of work, it just shows you. People talk about huge fences, they talk about flat out gallops on the race course. A routine piece of work, and he fractured a pastern.
Absolutely. We'll just run you through the betting then for the race. We've got Sirius de Zegler in at 6-4, Novelist 4-1, Trading Leather 9-2, Hillstar and Ectaham 7s, Universal 16s and 20 or bigger. The rest.
Yeah, Hillstar and Trading Leather, they fly the flag for the classic generation. The three-year-olds had probably be Trading Leather over Hillstar. Hillstar was supplemented 75 grand. Trading Leather won. I thought it was a muddling Irish Derby, but nevertheless, he won an Irish Derby. He's got good classic form, and he comes to the table for me as the leading three-year-old. Sirius de Zegler, now the top-rated turf horse in the world, following the retirement of Franco. He's a horse that's been second in a Champion Stakes to Franco. He won a Champion Stakes. Christophe Soumillon, I believe, is on for the first time since he won the Champion Stakes 2 years ago in the UK. He's ridden them since abroad, and he takes over because Olivia Pellier has been claimed for a very nice name. I'd be interested to know which one of the two Pellier would like to have ridden, but obviously he's claimed to ride one. And Sirius de Zegler, for me, I think he's definitely the one to beat.
He's certainly the classiest horse in the race, and the 6-4 looks reasonably fair. Okay, then we will kick
just before
on.
Before we move on, I'd like to see Ectaham run well. It's interesting, Paul Hannigan's gone up to ride Macadram up at York. That's his choice, apparently. And of course, this horse unseated him at Royal Ascot and might well have won that race at Royal Ascot. So I wish Ectaham all the very best. Dane O'Neill, a more than able replacement, but it's maybe a tip in itself that Hannigan has gone up for that Group 2 ride at York on Macadram.
No, certainly. And just one other that we'll touch on, just Novelist. We don't really know much about. I mean, hasn't raced over here before, but certainly has some class.
Got class, has got group form, and I just wondered about ground for Novelist, a German raider. Yeah, so as I say, I previewed this race thick and thin all the way through on Tuesday, and I'd forgotten about every of my notes, but I did remember there was a ground question about Novelist, a German raider for Johnny Murta. That's an interesting ride for Johnny one way or another. Anyway, he must be one of the most successful trainer jockeys ever in history.
He really is flying at the minute, isn't he?
And Graham Lee on Red Cadeau as well, the globe-trotting Red Cadeau for Ed Dunlop. So some people say it's not a great King George, but when you've got the top-rated, that was somebody said to me this morning in here, it's not a great King George, but you've the top-rated tough horse in the world in the race.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if St Nicholas had have run, it would have been even more interesting trading leather as well. Mm. I mean, I know Dale Gibson's going to be on with us on radio. He fancies the Irish Derby winner to win the race, so it's a great race. And he also says that Cirrus de Zegla is the one to beat, but he says trading leather could be the value there. But I'm dead against the people that say it's not a great race. As I say, the top rated turf horse in the world, what do they want?
Absolutely, I have to agree with you there, Gordy. We will kick on now with some of Friday's action. We'll start with the 3.10 at Ascot. It's a handicap over 2 miles. Six of them are down to go to post. It looks reasonably open. We've got Marroquite, Force, Michael Stout and Paul Hannigan, who look like they may head the market, but there's a few in behind that could certainly cause some damage.
Yeah, Marroquite was just beaten in a full to finish at York over this 2 mile trip as well. Homeric ran in the Ascot Stakes. He found the trip maybe just too far, I reckon, on that occasion. But Mysterious Man, Homeric, Marroquite, many chances here. Again, I've said this a few times, and maybe other people might, but the fields are just beginning to get diluted a bit. I mean, decent prize money here, just the six. Montasa won this race 12 months ago, but as I say, that Marroquite run at York, just beaten, similar marks, Michael Stout and Paul Hannigan teaming up here, that would be the one for me. Main danger, Homeric, winning form and then went to Royal Ascot. I don't think he stayed the trip, to be honest, and they're straight back to 2 miles. So Marroquite to beat Homeric.
Okay then. That's the 3.10 race. The 3.45 is a listed contest. It is over a mile on the round course, and 11 of them are down to go to post. This looks really open. We've got some really unexposed types down at the bottom, such as Zibelina for Saeed Bin Soror. We've got some horses that have been there and done that, like Falls of Laura. What do you make of this, Gordy?
My tip's going to be Ultrasonic. Ultrasonic's got the hood on. This is a listed race, as you say, for three-year-olds and upwards. And most of them are, there's a one or two three-year-olds. The top dangers and the main protagonists for me are four-year-olds. I remember seeing this filly at Ponte, and she didn't have the best of runs. And I think she did finish third. She didn't have the best of runs. And I think it was a listed race at Ponte as well. They're going listed again. Ryan Moore on board with a trouble-free passage. For me, she's going to be my selection. Thistlebird, who won last year's race, not in the race this year, but actually beat Ultrasonic at Epsom earlier this season. Light Up My Life, I can see that going well. Light Up My Life was second on its last run. That was at Sandown. That's where the pace will come from, because I think she made the running on that occasion. So I think I can see Light Up My Life leading, but with a bit of a trouble-free passage this time, I can see Ultrasonic making amends for. I thought it was an unlucky run at Pontefract last time. Try to think, have we got the distance to just over two lengths? Well, for me, she was quite badly impeded, and two lengths is nothing over a mile. I'm going to go for Ultrasonic to beat Light Up My Life.
Okay then, Ultrasonic in the 3.45 from Ascot. The last race that we're going to look at is the 7.30 race from York. It is another listed race, this one for fillies over a mile and 2 furlongs. 9 of them are down to go to post, and there's some really cracking types in here. You've got the likes of Ladies First, who are very, very consistent. We've got some raiders from down south, including Alba Shara, who really hasn't done much wrong up to now, has she?
No, probably didn't get home over a mile and a half in the Lancashire Oaks. This time we're back to a mile and a quarter. There's a huge southern contingent, as you were saying. Alba Shara, Saeed Bin Soror, Hippy Hippy Shake, Kumani, Nusida with Reckoning, Gosden with Cushion, Haggis with Lady Nerf. The list goes on and on, but Richard Fahey's got a reasonable record in this race. Barefoot Lady last year, and he's got Romantic Settings, and he's got My Choice Ladies First. So Ladies First came up against, I think it was Gifty Girl at Pontefract, maybe a wee bit out of her depth at Royal Ascot, but she wasn't beaten very far at Haydock, so I think her form reads well. And Richard Fahey, I'm not saying he farms these type of races, but he loves to have a go at them, and nobody will get greater pleasure than him for seeing off the Southern boys. So Barefoot Lady last year, Ladies First this year. He's second string, if you'd like to call it. Romantic Settings wouldn't be exactly out of this. Fifth last time at Newbury in listed company when last seen out. So I wouldn't be put off that running quite well, but it's got to be ladies first. Tony McHamilton, I'm sure, with a first shout. He rides ladies first. Barry McHugh's on Romantic Setting.
Okay, lovely stuff, Gordy. If you could just recap your three picks there at Ascot and York for me.
Right, I'm just get them in order here. I am going for Mawakeet, number 3 in the Ascot 310. Ultrasonic, number 5 in the Ascot 345. And then at York's absolutely bustling, rammed evening meeting in the 7:30, I'm going to go for Ladies First, number 3 in that 7:30.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Gordy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.